Let the church say amen. Amen. If you love the Lord, say amen. Amen. And if God's been good to you, say amen. Amen. We're thankful that our God has blessed us to be on this side of time and eternity one more day. God has been good to us. We need to give him praise and we need to give him thanks because he is worthy to be praised among men. We are indebted to him because without him we could not take a breath. And without him we would not be able to move and have our being, because it is of the Lord that we are able to be on this time, on this side of time and eternity. I want to thank Brother Dennis and the congregation for your steadfastness in this 12-hour gospel preaching. Folk can't hardly stand that anymore. We done become soft. I want to say I apologize to you and to my fellow preachers that I don't have on a coat and a tie. Now, the last couple of years, Brother Reed, I've come up here with a shirt and a tie on, and I was about the only one that did. I felt out of place. Now I come, one of my sons in the gospel, Matthew, and I'm so glad his daddy taught him right, to be on time. And his daddy and I were the best of buddies, and one I loved dearly. He was one that would go into the lion's den with me. Amen. And he'd go into the lion, and some of you all know that in the metro Louisville area, I'm one to have to jump into the lion's den. Well, his daddy would be there right there with me in the lion's den and in the fiery furnaces of Metro Louisville. And y'all know we got some fire down there. Amen. But that's all right. That's all right. The last time I read the book of Daniel, there was a fourth one in there along with them Hebrew boys. And he looked like the Son of Man. So I'm all right with that. I don't have no problems with it, because I know that the God of heaven is greater than any enemy that comes against me. It is so good to be with you again, and I know that my time is far spent, and it's time for me to get into the Word and do exactly what has been assigned unto me to do. And my subject was to defend this one faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Now, if you just take it by its course, listen to my beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning the common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once delivered for all the saints. I come to tell you, if you look at that scripture, and it tells you, amen, that the church was, and the believers were in terrible danger facing their faith and their common belief, a horrifying danger that always lies ahead right in front of every generation. What is this, you ask? I'm glad you asked. The danger of false teaching. If a believer swallows false teaching, he dooms himself. Any person who denies that God sent
his son into the world to save man who denies that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the Savior of the world will never be accepted unto God. Here in the book of Jude, in this letter that Jude, the Lord's brother, wrote, he intended to write a letter to them, encouraging them towards their salvation, how that they were to grow in the grace of God. When we look at the Apostle Paul says that we are to grow into the grace of God. Peter says we are to add to our faith virtue, and to our virtue knowledge, and to our knowledge temperance, and to our temperance godliness, and to our godliness brotherly love and kindness. But Jude said, I can't write to you concerning that because there's something else that has crept into the body of Jesus. He says, I need to talk to you about and now, because you know, you grew up in a world, you grew up in a theological world that denounces that the God of heaven even exists. You're growing up in an age. Brother Matthew, I need some help. Get for me Ephesians chapter 2, because I want you all to understand what you're up against. You're up against a world of confusion. Brother Matthew talked about that person, that student or somebody that was confused. He sounded like Maxine Waters, confused. The reporter asked her the other day, said, well, now, didn't you just say that Comey ought to be fired? I went, yes, I did say he ought to be fired for what he did to Hillary. Well, then you mad cause Trump fired him? Yes, he shouldn't have fired him. The reporter said, well, I'm confused. No, you ain't confused. She said, no, you ain't confused. See, the devil can say whatever they want to say, and you got to figure it out. Huh? Amen. Yeah. We're living in some times where truth ain't truth no more. Right ain't right no more, and wrong has become right. Listen to what he says in the book of Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. He says, and you have he quickened who were once. Now, y'all get that one? He said, who were once. That means there ought to be something that has transitioned in our lives. Who were once were in our sins and our trespasses. There was, you not only were you, amen, were you in sin, but you became trespassers. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means when you go, now y'all know what y'all mean, what it means. How many of y'all got no trespassing in y'all's yard? Somebody ought to say amen. Y'all know y'all put no trespassing in y'all's yard. Well, let me tell you something. God put some no trespassing signs. And he says, don't you dare walk over this line. You remember when they were the people of God, those Israelites, you know, y'all act like Israelites sometimes, amen. We act like Israelites sometimes, amen, Walls. Well, I come to tell you, the Israelites told Moses, well, Moses, why you got to be the only one talking to God? God said, okay, bring them Israelites up here to me. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to put some boundaries. I'm in the 19th chapter of the book of Exodus. Y'all got to know. Y'all can say amen. It's in the book. I ain't making up nothing. Amen. Look. He said, put some boundaries around and listen. Tell all the people that anybody that step over that line, even man or beast. Now, let me tell you something. Notice God didn't have to send nobody to tell the beast, don't come across. Do y'all get that? Do you get that? The beast understood. Notice that God never told Noah, go and tell the animals come in the ark. Do y'all not get that? The animals came two by two, male and female. Somebody say amen. Male and female. And he listen now. But they came two by two, male, Noah never preached, but he preached 120 years to some foolish people that crossed the boundary of God. So when he says, you're in your sins and the trespassing, here's what he says. And here's how the world trespasses against God. Because we began to be influenced by the cares of the world. Read on in verse number 2. What does he say? He says, in which you once walked, following the course of the world, prince of the power of the air, spirit that now worketh in the son of children of disobedience. Read. Among, we are all, we everybody, remember now, he said once. He said we once did that. I'm getting to the once. I know I'm over in Jude 3. He said when it once delivered. But you got to know what you've been delivered once from. You were delivered from the foolishness of the, you know, I know some of y'all scared to even say you even voted for Donald Trump. Well, let me tell you what, we got a Supreme Court justice that's going to do right with the Constitution and do right with our religious rights. Somebody ought to say amen. Get the Brother Matthew, get a shield up here for me. I ain't mad. Well, let me help you now. Let me help you. He says, what's going on? Just think about it. We have overstepped the boundary. In the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 17, somewhere around verse 26, he says, we are all of one seed. Y'all remember him saying that? And we are all of one seed. And what did God do with the one seed? He says, and he put boundaries. Man, God made male and female, and he is not confused. Do y'all understand me? God is not confused about male and female. He said, a woman, I don't care how sweet you guys might think you get, ain't none of y'all gonna bring no child in this world. Amen. You don't have the DNA. Some of you sisters ought to say amen. You don't have the DNA to do it. And I'm going to tell you fast tail sisters something. You ain't going to bring no child in this world without the seed of a man. Stepping over the boundary lines. For the last 8 years, this country has stood and went over the boundary lines. I'm glad we've got somebody who don't believe in what we believe in. But here, let me tell you something. When y'all remember I can't pronounce his name, the king that of Persia that gave the children of Israel the opportunity to rebuild Jerusalem? Y'all remember him? Y'all remember him? What was his name? Cyrus? Well, let me tell y'all this. Let me tell you this. He wasn't a believer either, but God used him. God used him. Don't tell me God can't use somebody that may not be a believer to allow the believers to do what we need to do to rebuild this country. Got schools teaching that Sally got two mommies and Billy's got two daddies. Something wrong with that teaching. Huh? something wrong with that teaching. I know y'all wasn't expecting all of this, but you know, I am who I am. Well, let me help me. I got to give you what you come for. All right. He says, Jude says, since I can't talk to you about adding to your faith, I got to take time because there's some folk that has jumped into the body of Christ teaching stuff that they themselves don't even know about. But they have become educated. And you know, listen now. I believe in a great education. I've got one. I may not talk like I've got one, but I graduated from college. Amen. But I want you to know, our schools and universities are pumping out religious false teachers that we have, many have spent years of endowing these institutions. They don't need y'all no more. Hello? Lipscomb don't need y'all no more. Did y'all know that? Lipscomb can survive without you. Because those that went on before you endowed it, and so Lipscomb can teach whatever they want to teach. They ain't hiring Church of Christ preachers and teachers in there no more. You can't hardly find them. Oh, Lord. That didn't go good. But the old folks, J. Frank McGill taught me, preach it when they like it and preach it when they don't like it. Amen. That's the kind of church I grew up in. Oh, Lord, help me, Jesus. Lord, help me. I'm all right. I'm going to get you the point. You're going to come out of here and you're going to understand something. When I get through, you're going to understand. There ain't but one gospel. And that's the gospel Jude said you need to stand for. Well, where is the problem coming? Well, it's because folk don't understand the gospel. They don't understand the gospel. They say you can obey the gospel anywhere. And let me tell you something, brethren. Let me just be clear. If a person, do you get me now? I told you don't overstep the boundaries. I put the boundary lines now. I had to put the boundary lines so you can get the point. Brother Reed, if I didn't put the boundary line there, they wouldn't get the point. But y'all get, if you got the point on the boundary lines of God, say amen. All right, then now you ready for me to teach you something. You're not walking according to the course of the world, but according to the faith that was once delivered, brought you out. Matthew said, you are the called out. What are you called out from? Called out from the world. Called out from being the children of disobedience to the children of God. So with that, you got a new standard to live by. A new road to travel. Now, Jude says, this faith, this gospel was once delivered. Paul says in the Galatian letter, in Galatians chapter 1, that there are some who say that there is another gospel. He said, but there's not another gospel. He says, now, if anyone teaches that there are more than one gospel, let them be accursed. So first of all, there ain't but one gospel. And so what we have to understand is what is that gospel? And if a person can obey the gospel outside of the Church of Christ, then we have been teaching false teaching. I just want us to know now, If a person can obey the gospel outside of the church of Christ, then you and I have been teaching, Brother Michael, false teaching. So the question is, are we teaching false doctrine? We better be clear. We better be able to understand it. Well, what's the gospel? Well, in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says, I have delivered unto you that which I also received. And he says, how as Christ, that gospel that I delivered unto you, here's that gospel, that the Christ was crucified. Do y'all hear that? That he was what? Buried, and that he was what? Raised again according to the script, the third day according to the script. Now that's the gospel. So the question is, can somebody obey that gospel outside of the church of Christ? Well, don't worry, I'm gonna clean it up. Don't have no fear. Have no fear. Hey, God is here. God's word is here, and I ain't gonna let nobody mess with me. I'm all right with it. Let me show you something. Can you walk with me? Jesus said, except a man be what? Born again, he shall not what? See the kingdom of God. Nicodemus was confused. He said, Lord, how can a man, when he is old, enter the second time into his mother's womb? He said, well, you're confused, Nicodemus. That which is spirit is of the spirit, and that which is of the flesh is of the flesh. Well, so the issue then becomes being born again. So then, how is it that we are to be born again? That's the key. What is the gospel? The power of the gospel is in baptism. Now let me show you something. Over there in the and the power of it is in the righteousness of God. The Jews, Brother Matthew, they knew Jesus was righteous. But what they had a problem was Jesus' righteousness. Yeah? See, the problem wasn't that they knew Jesus. They knew God was righteous. But what they had a problem, they misunderstood, was God's righteousness. Listen to it. What he says in the Roman letter, Matthew said, if we can live Romans 12, we're ready for Jesus to take us on out of here. If we can just live Romans 12, Jesus, Lord, take me on now. But here's what he did. He stopped off in verse chapter 10. He says, brethren, my heart's desire for Israel is that they, what? Might be saved. For I bear them record that they've got a zeal of God. Now, they loved the Lord. They believed in Jehovah. They believed in Yahweh. But let me tell you what. He says, but I bear them record they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. But they being ignorant of God's righteousness, they went about and stabbed. Go over to Philippians 3 for me. They went about and established their own righteousness. The Jews had a righteousness problem. Say righteousness. That's the problem, folks. They had a righteousness problem. Paul said over there, Brother Matthew, in the book of Philippians chapter 3, I think is what I'm looking for. He says over there around verse number, Brother Matthew, you writing and going over and getting my scripture for me now. He's trying to write them scriptures down. They got tapes, am I right? And y'all going to be able to listen to them on www.mccbroadcasting.com When I get those tapes, you'll be hearing that on the Midwest Church of Christ internet radio broadcasting station. Somebody say amen. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Oh, yes, the Lord is moving, y'all. I just want you to know. They think they had enough of me down there. They ain't seen nothing yet. And when you see over there, Paul says, I have given up everything. He talked about his pedigree, you know, he said where he come from, you know. He said, I come from the tribe of Benjamin. Y'all remember him saying that? You know, Benjamin was the beloved tribe of Israel. Because it was Jacob's, our Israel's last son. And, oh, he was loving him some Benjamin. Joseph loved him some Benjamin. But I come to tell you, Paul said, I come through that tribe. Pharisee, shoot, I was a real Pharisee. I was a real, I did it with a clear conscience. I wasn't out there fooling around. I was serious about what I was doing. In fact, I was so serious, I put you in jail, brother. That's how serious I was. But look, he says, in verse 7, he said, I give up everything. I give it up, all of it. Read it. Yea, whatever gain, I count it its cost for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything. Read. But now read verse 9. And to be found in him, not having what? He says in the King James Version, he says, and not having my own righteousness. I'm getting y'all to the righteousness problem. See, Paul understood he didn't have no sin problem. He had a righteousness problem. Paul wasn't out there whoremongering. Paul wasn't out there treating people bad. Well, until he got to the Christians. Hey. He understood what his problem was he had a righteousness problem. So what did he have to do? Well, go to Romans chapter 1. This is because we got to get this righteousness thing. We get this righteousness thing squared away. We get this righteousness thing squared away. Then we'll get this thing, our faith squared away. Now look at what he says in beginning at verse 15. What does it say? My reader, he done got into me and ain't got into my scripture. Romans 1, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for in it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for therein is what? The righteousness of God revealed. I come to tell you, what is it? The gospel is the righteousness of God. You want to get into Jesus, you got to get into the righteousness. Well, how does all this righteousness come? He says the gospel. What is the gospel? Well, it's the death, burial, resurrection. Well, Paul says in Romans 6, no, you're not. There's so many of us as we're baptized into his death, we're baptized into his resurrection. It's got to be a resurrection. Death, burial, resurrection. But here's the issue. Where does that put the Church of Christ? What does that mean to us? If somebody can obey the gospel outside of the Church of Christ, you know, remember now. That's why we have to study the scriptures to show ourselves approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Peter says there is no scripture of any private interpretation. He says, so we've got to bring all of the scripture. Baptism without the new birth. Remember now. You know, my brethren teach, some of my brethren teach, that baptism, the new birth is a part of your mind. I said, well, where do you read that from? Where you get that from? Huh? No, no. I ain't found no scripture. And I know you ain't got none. Because if it had, I would have found it. So then, how do you then put the church of Christ in the heart of the gospel? Now, I'm glad y'all asked, because I'm going to tell you. Glad you asked. Jesus said, a man must be born again. Remember in the 19th chapter of the book of Matthew? They come to Jesus and they started talking about those boundaries again. They start talking about Jesus. Said, well, what is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for any cause? Well, he said, well, what did the law say? He said, well, he says, Moses did it because of the hardness of your hearts. But from the beginning, see, if you got to understand, then Jesus has to be, if he talks about the new birth, he's got to deal with the beginning. So if you want to know something theologically, every theological question in the world is in the book of Genesis. And if you can't take your theological understanding back to the book of Genesis, you probably have the wrong understanding. Jesus said, a man must be born again. Well, Nicodemus wanted to know, is it of the flesh? Jesus says, it's a spiritual walk. It's a spiritual birth. Okay, now. I remember over in the book of Revelation, there was a woman paining to be delivered. Jesus said in Revelation 21, go over there with me. I can't quote it. I used to be able to quote it. He says, 21, Revelation 21. I used to be able to quote it, but, you know, I am getting a little more old. Amen. Hey. And there's a lot of things going on with me right now that I just can't remember like right now. Because there's some things happening. I haven't told you all, but there's some things happening with me right now that I'm going through. And it just kind of slow. I know y'all are acting like, they're slowing him down now. What was he like beforehand? Oh. Well, verse 20, let read it, Brother Matthew. Verse 1, start from the beginning. He said, I saw a new heaven, that's when, and a new earth. Passed away. All right. Now, look at what he says. I now see the holy city. The holy city, and he calls it the new Jerusalem. Oh, Lord have mercy. I now need to go back over to the book of the Galatian letter where Paul says that Sarah, that Hagar was the mother of another boy, Ishmael, and was the mother of the flesh. But Sarah was the mother of the promised child, and he says over there, go and check it out, that she becomes the mother of us all. Isn't that what it says? It's out there. My right, Brother Reed? She becomes, so God now, remember the promise he made to Abraham, that Abraham was going to have children all over the world. God has to do this thing. And look at what he says. Look at what he says. And he says, then Sarah becomes the mother of us all. He says in Revelation, John says in Revelation that the new Jerusalem, the holy city, the new Jerusalem coming down from heaven as a bride. Oh, Lord, have mercy. It's a woman in this thing, brother. It's a woman in this thing. You sisters thought y'all were left out. I want you to know you are not left out. There's a woman in this thing, and she is called the New Jerusalem, the Sarah, the mother of us all. Now, y'all know where I am. My brothers and sisters, the church is Christ's bride. Do y'all get me now? Now, let me tell y'all something. Jesus said a man must be born again. Let me tell you all something. I told you, I don't care how sweet you guys are, you will not carry a child. Your DNA will not lie. Our stomachs get a little big, but still it ain't got the DNA to put a child in there. Now, just think about this now. Jesus said, the law of birth means that there is a male and a female. The law of birth means there is a law of marriage between a man and a woman. Somebody ought to be saved to say amen now. Y'all need to say amen with this now. Well, Jesus and his bride, according to Ephesians chapter 5, the woman, the church, is Jesus' bride. Says, I know y'all confused, but I'm talking about the Lord and his bride. Okay, so, I'm just getting us in here. So listen to me now. Peter says, you are not born again in 1 Peter chapter 1. You are not born again of a corruptible seed, because he tells us that corruptible seed in the book of 1 Corinthians 15 is the seed of Adam. But he also, in 1 Corinthians 15, tells us that we have to also bear the seed of the heavenly. Y'all get that? The seed. The seed of Jesus enters into the heart of the bride. And when a husband and wife come together, out pops, when that woman has carried that child, the water breaks. That's when y'all know that little bundle of joy is ready to come, don't you, ladies? My brothers and sisters, when we take a person into the heart of the gospel through the church of Christ, we put them into the water. Don't be asking me what God does. I know he said he's going to wash away their sins. He's going to regenerate their hearts. And he's going to raise them to be a newborn babe in Christ Jesus. I'm here to tell y'all. I am going to defend the gospel. I'm going to defend the church of Christ as the bride of Jesus our Christ. I'm all right with that. I ain't bothered by all these guys that's got all these doctors here and PhDs that. J. Frank McGill told me when I was a student there at Austin Peay State University, Jerry, because I was calling him every other. I was down in Pulaski at Martin College then. Martin was a Methodist college, and it was a junior college, and I went there to play basketball. Y'all want to know? That's what I was down there. I was good. Amen. I was all American. Complete, man. I don't look like I played. I look like I played football, but right then, man, I was 185, and I was really good, man. But you know, time does a lot of stuff to it. I tell the kids, Brother Reed, I used to be 6 feet 2 1/2. I am not, I'm just barely, might barely reach 6 feet now. But all I'm going to tell you is this, They can't get nothing more out of this book than what you get. Read it from Genesis to Revelation. I done it several times. Okay. Every morning I'm up, I take that book at 6 o'clock in the morning.
with the morning meditation with God. There's been thousands of people get up every morning, been listening to me with that ministry for 20 years. I have people dying, and funeral homes call and say, you got one of your members over here. I said, who is they? Well, they one of the radio people, okay? Now they're Facebook Live folk, huh? And now, pretty soon, I've got people calling now and asking me to come to because of Facebook Live. They want me to come to India and preach. I said, I don't know where I'm going to get to India, as broke as I am. But if God wants me to go, I don't care. He'll open up every door there is. Listen, brothers and sisters. Jude said, I come to defend the faith. The means one. There ain't nothing else. The one gospel, the one faith. And I have come to tell you, I have defended the Church of Christ, being the church that all baptized believers in Christ Jesus are in. My brothers and sisters, and I say, period. It's time. It's time for us to stand up and teach the truth in love. You know, we serve about 40 children every single day during the school year in our Village Learning Center. Brother Michael knows what we do down there. We have, 81% of the children in our church neighborhood that live on this side of the street, on the north side of the street, 81% of those children in the fourth grade do not read. Across the street in another council district, across the street in District 5, okay? In District 5, North District 6. District 6, 79% of fourth grade children can't read. And listen now, and that's who we're going to be going and outreaching to. And then I get beat up on, Brother Dennis, I get beat up on the radio by members of the Churches of Christ. Oh, the church ain't got no business out here in no educational program. Hello. You outreaching to a ignorance of children. Their parents, we remember now, and I don't care what city, Memphis is just as bad as Louisville. Listen now. We've got, and y'all up here in Radcliffe and Elizabethtown, y'all ain't no better. Y'all ain't gonna say amen, but that's all right. I know. Huh? 3 and 4 to 5 generations. When you got 45-year-old great-grandmamas, you know something is wrong. 30-year-old grandmamas walking around there. Huh? They was 15 when they had a child. Their 15-year-old had one when they were 15. And now, hello, you got a great-grandmama. And y'all know y'all got some up here, so you just might as well say amen before I start preaching on it. That's why this morning we met with our brethren in our monthly fellowship. We laid out again. We're getting ready now to begin a Christian school. Y'all know we've been working for years to bring charter schools. Do y'all know the school board up here in Elizabethtown, what's the name of this county? Hardin County. Jumped down and said, we ain't going to have no charter schools. Okay. So you're going to dumb down the kids even more. But let me tell y'all something. This governor is about to bring about some things in this state that's going to change the dynamics for the good of Christianity. In my mind. Now that's up there in Washington. But this governor is hard fast in his belief systems. Let me show you something. We got charter school this year. My time is up. All right. My brother done told me my time is up. Let me go out. Let me be still. Let me say this to you. Christian education is on its way. It's on its way. It is on its way. Churches of Christ, get ready to bring Christian schools back into our midst. It's on its way. Okay? It is on its way. Praise God. If you're here today and you're subject to be born again, or if you have strayed from the body, and listen, you've been confused whether or not the Church of Christ is right or not. Get unconfused. Don't be like some politicians, because God is not confused. He is not the author of confusion, but the author of peace. If you're here today, you need to be baptized. You need to be born again. You come by hearing. You come by believing, repenting, and confessing, and being buried with him in baptism. That's the new birth as we stand and sing God's invitation.